Good morning, everyone. My name's Jose. I'm an assistant minister here at St. Michael's. It's great to be with you, particularly exploring such an incredible passage like this, John 3. As we read it, I'm going to pray that God will help us to appreciate it even more. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you love us so much. And Lord, as we get to know you and your son Jesus better today, we pray that you would change our hearts to trust you even more with our whole lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what does love look like? It's a really big question. What does love look like? When I was young, I hoped my mum would love me in particular ways, but she loved me in her way. Some of you already know this, but for those of you who don't know, Asian parents are a bit different to Western parents. They show love in different ways. When I was young, growing up in Australia, I wanted my mum to buy me new clothes. I wanted her to drive me to my friend's house. But my mum, she showed her love for me by cooking me meals, cutting up fruit for me, by driving me to church. I wanted my mum to support me doing things like playing sport on the weekends. But rather, my mum showed her love for me by making me do English grammar lessons and typing lessons at home. And looking back, I can see how my mum really did love me. And my mum, she really loves me now. And I want to ask an even bigger question than that. How do we expect God to love us? How do we expect God to love us? And whatever our expectations of love, we just want to be loved, don't we? And today, as we read in John 3, we see that God loves us so much. God loves me, God loves you. God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son to rescue us from death. John chapter 3 tells us that God generously rescues us from death. And the first part of that we'll see is that we need God to rescue us. We need God to rescue us. And so in verse 1 we see that we meet a man named Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. He's a teacher. He's very educated in God's word, and he works hard to live by it. In verse 2, we read, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Nicodemus, he's trying to say nice things to Jesus to make him feel good about himself, but really is hiding what his real question is. His real question for Jesus is, who are you and what are you doing? Nicodemus has seen the amazing things that Jesus has done. He thinks Jesus is a great teacher, and he thinks Jesus, he must have some sort of power from God. But what Nicodemus doesn't fully understand is how we, including him, need God to rescue us. And Jesus, he can see what Nicodemus is really asking, and he even goes beyond his question. Verse 3, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Jesus, he starts by saying, very truly I tell you. It shows how important what he's about to say is. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And born again, the original language has a double meaning there. You could say, it says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again from above. Born again from above. And that gives us more of a hint to understand that we really need God from above to rescue us. We need God to give us this new birth. Nicodemus, he's confused. Verse 4, how can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Now surely they cannot enter a second time to the mother's womb to be born. That's true. And so Jesus explains more. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Jesus is saying that all people need God to rescue them. They need to be born again, not physically, not in their bodies, but spiritually, from above. This isn't just like a new commitment to be healthier or to be a nicer person. It's not even like a lifelong commitment to be a nice person. No, all people need to be born again in a radically new way. And when Jesus says no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit, he's talking about God's promise in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, which we read before. Ezekiel 36 says again, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart, from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God's people need to be born of water. And God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will wash you clean from all your sin. God's people need to be born of spirit. God says, I will put a new spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you so you'll want to live as my people. We can see who's doing the work here. God says, I will, I will, I will. And as we heard before from Adelaide, the Spirit gives life with God forever, gives new life with God forever. And the Old Testament and Jesus' words tell us that we can't rescue ourselves. Only God can wash us clean from our sin and give us His Spirit to change what we want. Only God can give us new birth. And Jesus continues in his conversation with Nicodemus. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Flesh means human nature. Human nature can only give birth to human nature. And so we need God to generously and powerfully give us this new birth. We need God to rescue us. You see, God, He made the world, all the oceans, all the plants, all the animals, all the people. He made the world and it was good. And there was no pain, no suffering, no death. But all of God's people, including you and me, we've rebelled against Him. Our rebellion is called sin. And the terrible truth is that our sin leads to death. And we can't get out of our mess, we can't get out of our sin and death just by trying to be good. Or we can't avoid death by saying that we're not that bad. It's like we're a ceramic plate that's been smashed. We can't put ourselves back together again. We're broken. We need God to make us new. We really need God to rescue us. And thankfully, God, He loves us and He knows exactly what we need. We see that God rescues everyone who believes in Jesus. God rescues everyone who believes in Jesus. Reading verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. And Jesus, He's talking about an event which happened over 1,000 years before Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. He's talking about when God's people rebelled against God, and so they were bitten by poisonous snakes. And as they were dying in their sickness with the poison of the snakes, God sent them away to be rescued. And He told their leader, Moses, to put a bronze snake on top of a pole, and then whoever would look at that snake would be healed. They would have life. And like the snake, Jesus, the Son of Man, He must be lifted up. Later in John, we see how Jesus was lifted up as He was killed on the cross, that whoever believes may have life in Him. Jesus was lifted up so that everyone who is sick and dying because of their sin can believe and have eternal life in Him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. How does God love the world? God gave his one and only Son, Jesus. In this verse, we don't just see how God loves the world, we see how much God loves the world. Now, I don't have any children. The closest I have is my niece. And I really love my niece. I love her big eyes. I love her smile, her little laugh, her little wave. I couldn't imagine giving up my niece for anything. And you might feel similarly. You might think, I couldn't give up my son for anything. I couldn't give up my daughter for anything. And that's right. That's good. That's true. That says a lot for how much God loves us. Because God's love is not like our love. God's love is so much bigger and more generous than our love. Some people might say, oh, God's done the wrong thing there. He's committed some sort of cosmic child abuse. And so we've also got to know that God's Son, Jesus, he gave himself up willingly because he also loves us. And Jesus says in John 10:18, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus gave himself up to die on the cross for us, to pay for our sin, because he knew that we couldn't rescue ourselves. Jesus loves us, so he gave himself for us. Some people might think that God should love us by encouraging us to live the way we want to live or to be the way we want to be. But we see God generously loves us in the way we really need. Our sin brings death. And someone has to pay for our sin. Either we pay ourselves or someone else takes our place. There's no other way. And if we see the absolute mess we're in our sin, we can see that the most loving thing God can do is to give someone to die in our place, to give us new life. That's how God has loved us. He sent his Son Jesus to obey his law perfectly and to die for us as the perfect sacrifice once and for all, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It doesn't just mean that I believe Jesus was a real man. It means more than that. It means I believe Jesus is who the Bible says he is. I trust him as the only one who can rescue me from sin and death and give me eternal life. We trust and believe when we get on the bus and trust the bus driver and the bus will get us where we need to go. And if we were drowning, we wouldn't ask the lifeguard for his qualifications before he saved us or rescued us. We just believe in him and trust him to rescue us. And believing and trusting in Jesus means allowing him to rescue you and holding tight to him. Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. What does it mean to perish? To perish is to die a spiritual death, to spend forever separated from God. Sin and death are real. But God really loves us. His love for us is real. As real as the nails that pierced Jesus' hands. As real as Jesus' life and death and rising from the dead. God's love for you is real. And if you believe in Jesus, God's forgiveness for you is real. And what does it mean to have eternal life? Eternal means forever. But it doesn't just mean living our normal lives with all the pain and suffering. Even if we love our own lives, we can't deny the horrible stuff going around the world. We can't deny that there's something really broken with our world. But eternal life, it's not just about how long, it's about how good. Eternal life is not just about how long, it's about how good. Eternal life is the goodness of being with God and His Son Jesus forever. Eternal life is the goodness of safety, freedom, comfort, and joy that deep down we all really want. Eternal life is real and it's forever. And the truth is even more beautiful than that. It's not just believing in the Son and in return we receive eternal life. Because the Son of God Himself is life. In John chapter 1, it said, "Through Him, the Son of God, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Jesus, the Son of God, is life. He's the one who made the world, and everything was made through Him. We can believe in Jesus, and He is the life we receive. John chapter 3 continues. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." God sends Jesus not to condemn us, but to rescue us, to save us. Maybe some of us feel condemned by our own guilt and shame. We've all got to know, please know that Jesus has come to set you free from your guilt and shame. He has come to rescue you from your death. And verse 18 continues, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Jesus comes to save, not to condemn. It's not speaking of a scenario that we're living our best lives now and then Jesus comes to condemn bad people and comes to rescue good people. It's not saying that at all. I was thinking about a picture that would illustrate this and I was thinking maybe it's someone whose heart has stopped beating. They can't be made more dead. But the picture is, it's even bigger than that. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it's no secret, just after the passage we talked about with God cleansing with water and giving His people a new spirit, the passage after that talks about the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel looks upon this valley of dry bones and he knows, how can these be made alive again? Not by his effort. Now, imagine if we went to Woolworths, bought a chicken, ate everything, had all the bones left. How can that chicken be given new life? I can't do that. It needs the power of God. It needs the power of God. And so that chicken, just as it can't be more dead, the person who doesn't believe in Jesus can't be more condemned. They're already dead in their sin. They're spiritually dead. But Jesus can come. Jesus can come with the power of God and rescue them and give them new life. We're invited to believe in Jesus and receive eternal life. Do you believe in Jesus and have life? Or do you not believe in Jesus and stand condemned to death forever? You don't have to stay condemned. You can still come to Jesus and have life with Him. Please, believe in Jesus today. But even though Jesus has come to save us, many of us in the world want to hide away from Him. Verse 19 says this, "This is the verdict, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed." Jesus is light and He's come into the world to show us the truth of who we really are and the truth of who He really is. But people don't want Jesus and the truth. They want to live their own way and they want to hold on to their sin. A question we have to ask ourselves is, do we recognize the real danger of sin? Now, our world makes sin look really nice and desirable. I remember when I was young, I was out with my family and I saw a needle on the ground. I thought, this needle is kind of cool. I thought I'll take it home and I'll play with it like a toy. And later on, while I was in the car next to my mom, this needle started to scratch me a little bit. And my mom, she saw me squirming and she took this needle out of my pocket. I had no idea that this needle could be harmful. That for many, that this needle leads to addiction, to pain, to broken relationships, to death. I thought I would just play with it. Sin might look exciting, but sin is not safe. Sin promises to please us, but sin destroys us. And even when we know that sin is wrong and dangerous, we might just keep it in our pocket. It's hidden in a way, and any time we might just feel like dipping our hand into our pocket, we sin, and we hurt ourselves, we hurt other people, we hurt God, and we lead ourselves to death. We can't just play around with sin. If you're living in the darkness and holding on to your sin, know that Jesus has come to rescue you. He wants to come and make you clean. Verse 21 says, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Who can live by the truth? Only those who have been born again. Those who have believed Jesus and received his truth and light. God has given them a new spirit so they can live by his truth. And whoever lives by the truth can joyfully hand over their sin, knowing that it is taken by Jesus on the cross. If we believe in Jesus, God has changed us. But we know that we still struggle with wanting to live our own way. We still struggle with being drawn into the darkness. But God, he keeps working in us to make us more like Jesus. And Jesus, he's the life and light that we need. And we need to keep depending on him to make us live in the way that he wants, the best life for us. It's such a wonderful joy that God generously rescues us from death in Jesus. And we can see in the second half of chapter 3 that John the Baptist, he's caught up in the wonder and joy of seeing God's rescuer Jesus come into the world. John the Baptist's followers, they're caught up in arguments, they're caught up in jealousy. They complain to John, but John is not jealous. Instead, John is overflowing with joy. We can see him saying, "I'm not the Messiah, I'm not God's rescuer. I was just preparing the way for him. And now that God's rescue is here, I am full of joy. He must become greater, I must become less." God generously rescues us from death. And it's our joy that God sent Jesus to rescue us because we can't save ourselves. If we believe in Jesus, we can joyfully hold on to him and the eternal life that he gives us. And we can joyfully give the good news of Jesus to everyone that we know. Because we know that Jesus is who they really need. God generously rescues all who believe in Jesus. Here's a little excerpt from one of my favorite kids' books, Jesus Takes Away Our Sins. The book is called Everything a Child Should Know About God. Jesus Takes Away Our Sins. God always punishes sin. So will God punish us because we've done bad things? No. For Jesus Christ our Lord gave himself to be punished instead of us. He died on the cross because of our sins. Now God can forgive us and look at us as if we had never sinned. Thank you, Jesus, for taking away our sins. God's love doesn't mean that our sins are okay. We see that Jesus had to die for our sins. But God's love through Jesus' death on the cross means that our sins can be covered over. They can be forgiven. No matter how shameful our sins, no matter how guilty they make us feel, through Jesus, they can be forgiven and we can receive eternal life. If you want to believe in Jesus today, or if you'd like to believe in Jesus afresh today, I'm going to pray a short prayer with us. It's in your handouts. It's on the screen. You can read it and you can pray it with me in your heart. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to rescue us. We admit that we have rebelled against you and chosen to live our own way. We admit that we can't save ourselves. We need you to rescue us. Help us to trust and believe in Jesus to rescue us and give us eternal life. Please help us to live in the truth and light of Jesus now and forever. Amen.